It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we take a look at Chicago's Cabrini Green Housing Project and hear the human stories and history behind the rise and fall of the nation's most controversial projects. First, President Trump said yesterday that his administration will impose new tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. The announcement had an immediate effect. The Dow Jones fell by about 500 points ahead of closing yesterday afternoon, and world markets opened sharply lower, some turbulence still today. The president defended the decision on Twitter this morning, saying foreign steel was hurting the domestic industry and that, quote, trade wars are good and easy to win, end quote. A number of his fellow Republicans have raised concerns about the decision, including Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Mark Koplovich is an associate professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison. Mark, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back.
Give us a quick 101. What changes under the president's announcement yesterday?
The short version is I wish I had good news, but it's bad economic policy. It's bad foreign policy. It might have broader implications. Specifically, what we're talking about is Trump announced that there are going to be 25% across the board tariffs on imported steel and 10% on aluminum.
And these are across the board. I'm going to jump in. I understand that there have been specific targeted increased tariffs on certain kinds of Chinese steel, saying, hey, you're selling this too cheap. We're imposing specific, almost punitive tariffs on these. This is different.
Yes, right. So as we've spoken about in the past, and as the Bush administration did in 2002, the U.S. has, I believe, over 100 different types of tariffs on Chinese steel and other countries' steel where you're targeting this specific product is being dumped into the U.S. market or it's being illegally subsidized. This is different. This is the Trump administration saying, for national security reasons, we're going to have an across-the-board tariff on all steel and all aluminum.
That's the justification being used here on the International Court of Public Opinion, the national security angle. The idea, as I understand it, is, okay, suppose we're in another World War II situation. We need to produce lots of military hardware. If our foreign supplies of steel and aluminum are disrupted or if we're at war with one of our suppliers, say, we need to make sure we're still producing enough to do something like that.
Yes, and this is, frankly, this is the oldest argument for trade protection going back centuries. Mm-hmm. The British used to make this argument about food and why we can't import food from France, right? There's a law from the Cold War era, Section 232 in U.S. law that allows us to do this. And in the law of the treaty of the forerunner to the World Trade Organization, the GATT, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, way back when the GATT was founded in 1947, there's a clause that says you can impose trade protection for national security reasons. It's never really been invoked. Right. And the danger and risk is it's a slippery slope that other countries could use as well. The empirical aspect of it, which is troubling, is most of our steel, right, doesn't come from countries that we might have conflicts with. Right, our largest trading partner in terms of steel and imports is Canada. After that, it's Brazil, South Korea, Mexico. So the justification is national security, but the countries that are going to be hit are actually some of our closest trading partners and democratic allies.
Do you think that national security is the real reason here, or is this an economic policy decision?
I think it's a political justification for a policy that Trump's views on trade policy have been what they are now. Going back decades, he used to talk about Japan the way he now talks about China, that we are losing, that they are winning, and so I think it's a very instrumental excuse to impose trade protection. The risk, aside from the economic issues, the risk is that other countries could do this, and it's a huge loophole, right? If you start to say, well, China's dumping this product and we're going to impose a specific tariff on that product, that's one thing, and other countries might retaliate. But if we justify national security for across-the-board tariffs, then the European Union can do that, the Canadians can do that, the Chinese can do that. It's a really huge threat to the multilateral trade regime in the global economy.
If I'm another country, I could say, well, grain, cheese, these are things that a global crisis could cut the supply of. We're going to stop. We're going to put a tariff on American exports of these things.
Yeah. And again, this is what happens all the time in World Trade Organization cases, that the U.S. imposes anti-dumping duties against the European Union on certain products, and then the EU will come back and say, all right, we're going to target Kentucky bourbon or we're going to target cheese from Wisconsin, and you get these sort of narrow back and forth tit for tat type of things. But that's very different from, you know, the world of the 1930s and the Great Depression, where what you had was across the board tariffs, and you get into these beggar thy neighbor policies. And what happened then was the global economy came crashing down. And that's the big medium-term risk.
Talking to Mark Koplovich from UW-Madison, we're looking at President Trump's announcement of tariffs on steel and aluminum. You're raising a concern there about a trade war. Here's a tweet from the president. This was this morning, I think. When a country, parentheses USA, is losing many billions of dollars on trade with virtually every country it does business with, trade wars are good and easy to win, that bit underlined. Example, when we're down $100 billion with a certain country and they get cute, don't trade anymore, we win big, it's easy. Trade wars are good and easy to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you saw the same tweets
that I did this morning. So the problem with that, and this is how Trump has always thought about trade, is that there's problems with bilateral deficits. Right, that if you are running a trade deficit, a surplus with me, I'm losing and you're winning. The other way to think about this, and the way we normally think about international trade, is we both get something out of international trade. Right, I get imports, you get exports, we get increased consumption. The really big problem now is American consumers and American producers use imported steel. Right. So what is this going to do if you cut off trade, right, or you increase the cost of imported steel and aluminum? Well, everything that we buy, right, is going to be more expensive. Toyota has already announced that their cars are going to be more expensive because the inputs of production are now going to be more expensive, even the Toyotas that are produced in the United States. And I saw another tweet by a small business owner in Wisconsin yesterday, where he basically said, I buy steel from the Netherlands because it is a specialized type of steel and it's the only producer in the world who makes that type of steel, right? So if you're thinking about certain types of steel are produced in lots of countries and we might protect jobs, right, by shifting consumption towards domestic steel. But there are some aluminum products and some steel products that American producers don't produce, but other American manufacturing firms and corporations actually use as inputs. All of that is more expensive. All of that is going to get passed on to consumers, or much of that in the form of increased prices.
These tariffs have gotten some supporters. The AFL-CIO leadership, the union, is saying this is good, about time, our workers need this. We've seen some Democrats in Ohio and elsewhere saying this is good, this is going to help steel workers. There are some people who will benefit from this in the United States, right?
In the short term, right? And unclear for how long. Right. So as you know, we've spoken about before on previous shows, right, you're going to protect jobs in certain sectors, but the cost to a much broader swath of society is going to be there. And so the numbers I saw yesterday were that steel using industries employ 80 times more people as steel producing industries. Right. So you're going to save some jobs. Right. But you might actually have some of those small businesses go out of business because now they have increased costs. The net effects are unclear. And again, if we get into this sort of international trade war and you think about the cost of other things going up, then the net benefit for any individual in the economy is a little unclear.
Let's talk about trade and foreign policy for a moment. Outside of the economic side of this, this is a relationship building exercise. As you mentioned, Canada, the biggest exporter of steel and aluminum to the United States, the biggest loser, presumably, from these tariffs. What does this do to alliances with countries like Canada, to relationships with countries like Mexico and Brazil?
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's the direct economic harm, right, in terms of we are hitting, right, some of our closest allies directly in terms of their exports and their trade relationships with us. But there's a broader strategic issue, right? Trade policy is actually foreign policy. And so if you think about what has happened now over the last year, the Trump administration withdrew from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was a Pacific Rim trade agreement with some of our major allies, Japan, Mexico, Canada, et cetera. And now you're talking about steel and aluminum tariffs that are going to hit Canada and Mexico and Brazil and South Korea. These are some of our largest trading partners. They're also our major democratic allies, right, around the world. And if you think about what's also going on with transatlantic trade tensions, Trump is, you know, there was going to be a US-EU trade agreement. Trump is also openly questioning our commitment to NATO. So a lot of the rhetoric is we're doing this because of China, right? And this is going to punish China. But the economic and political impact is really on our allies, and it also undermines American credibility. Right. So if you're doing these sorts of things, you're also casting doubt on our commitment to the global trade regime and whether or not we're going to pull out from the WTO, whether we're going to honor those sorts of trade commitments.
Let's talk about China for a moment. The accusation in an industry like steel is that China produces a ton of steel, more now than their domestic market, as I understand it, can handle. They want to sell it. They're selling it cheap. They're dumping it is the word people use. That's really hurting the American steel industry. Is there a case to be made for more targeted tariffs toward China?
Those are already there, right? Those are the, as I said before, there's over 100 different types of duties that we have on foreign steel. A lot of that is China. And again, China is the 11th largest exporter of steel to the United States, right? So we are hitting 75% of the steel that is not China and countries that are smaller exporters. So it's not clear that these new policies are actually going to have the desired effect. The broader problem is overcapacity. I mean, look, I grew up in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, which is an old steel town where the Bethlehem steel plant closed in the early 1980s. There has been overcapacity of steel production in the global economy since the 1970s and 1980s, and there's a long-term trend. And these types of duties probably aren't going to change that. Maybe on the margin, they're going to save a few jobs and they're going to keep some steel plants in the U.S. open for a little bit longer. But there are long-term structural changes in the global economy, and the U.S. has shifted away from a, you know, steel-producing, auto-producing type of economy. And, you know, what we haven't done in the United States is actually implement domestic policies to compensate and retrain workers. Those jobs are going away. They're probably going to continue to go away even with trade protection. And this is sort of pushing against a much broader long-term trend.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me again.
Mark Koplovich is an associate professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison. He joined us to talk about President Trump's announcement that he wants to impose a tariff on aluminum and steel.